The device that we're going to talk about here is something called the EyePal Solo. That's EyePal Solo, produced by ABIC. Jaws likes to pronounce it ABIC. And the reason that I think it should be pronounced ABIC is because the first three letters are in uppercase and then the word SEE, and I think that was the intent. That was the intent. Okay. I want to show people how it sounds without the speaker, and then if we decide that we need a little bit more volume, we'll do that. But I want you to get a realistic sense out of what this sounds like out of the box. Let me describe exactly what the unit looks like. You have a metal box that's, as it sits, oriented correctly toward you on the desk. And oriented correctly means that the buttons are in front of you and the cables and cords and everything else that connects to it are on the back, or pretty much everything else is. It is 11 inches wide by 8.5 inches deep. Actually, it's about 9 inches deep, but 8.5 inches of useful space. It's a flat metal box. It's about, I'd say, 3 inches high at the most, maybe 2.5. Out of the center of the back, actually it's a little bit to the right of the center now that I'm looking at it, there is a metal pole that's about 18 inches high, and on top of that pole is a camera that's mounted and positioned so that it's looking down on the flat surface of the metal box. When you scan a document, you put the document down on top of the metal box. The system is smart enough to know when you've put the document down there, and I'll show you that in a minute. And it recognizes the document. When it's done recognizing the document, it begins reading it to you. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to start the system. This start takes much longer than Amy would like it to. I noticed something, and I don't quite know why this is true, but there is an optional keypad that comes with the system. And I noticed that when I attached the keypad, the boot process took longer. I'm not sure why that is, but it is something I noticed. So I'm going to push the power button. And immediately the system starts telling you, and I'm going to turn that down just a little bit because we don't need to hear this song for the next 30 or 45 seconds. At first, well, especially because when I took it out of the box, I had no idea what was going to happen when I plugged this thing in. So I was kind of glad to have this little cue that tells me, yes, the system is doing something. It's not just sitting here hanging in space. This message will continue for as long as the system does its diagnostic tests and whatever it does to boot up. And, of course, now that I've said that, it's far longer than we want. But that's kind of what we're stuck with. I'll talk for a few minutes while it's continuing to boot. I'll talk about the buttons. One of the things I really like about this system is that the buttons are very well defined because they are different shapes and in some cases different textures. Along the front of the system, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 buttons. On the left is a square button. Next to it is a little round button. In the middle is a round knob. Okay, and it's now telling me to please place my document. Next to that is a round volume control, which has a nice little pointer on it, so you can actually tell where your volume is set if that kind of thing is important to you. I've got it set fairly loud because, of course, I want you to hear it. I'm going to take out, I have a folder of documents here. As the end of the boot process, the system told me to please place my document on the system, which I have not done yet. I've got it in my hand. I am now going to place the document on top of the system. Okay, now that, okay. And that's a good thing. I mean, it told me that because I wanted to know, and I had no way of knowing. I just put the document down the way I thought it should be. So I'm going to take, I took it off the top of the box, and the minute I did, system knew that I had removed the document. So we'll put it on the other way. Now that boinking noise means that it knows I put something there, but I'm still moving it around. That doo-doo means that it's starting the recognition, and the little click.
Strategies for Inclusion in Physical Education. Matlock Ortigilia Michael Pecorella. Physical activity and exercise, any bodily movement produced by skeletal muscle that results in energy expenditure. CDC, planned or structured physical activity.
Now that was the cover of this document, and when it finished reading what was on that page, it just stopped. I can go back a sentence if I want to by pressing the square button on the left.
Matlock Ortigilia Michael Pecorella. Strategies for Inclusion in Physical Education. Top of text.
And so it tells me that I'm at the top of text when I get there. If I press the little round button,
Strategies for Inclusion in Physical Education.
It's going to start reading it again.
Matlock Ortigilia.
I press the round button again, it pauses. Then there are two smaller square buttons that are above and below each other, and I'm pressing those and they don't seem to do anything right now, but let me start reading the document.
Locorticilia Michael Pecorella. Physical activity, exercise, any bodily movement produced by skeletal muscle that results in energy expenditure. CDC.
That's Amy's speed. Let me get it back up to the top of the text here and we'll...
Top of the text. Strategy for inclusion in physical education. Matt Locorticilia Michael Pecorella. Physical activity, I exercise, any bodily movement produced by skeletal muscle that results in energy expenditure. CDC, planned or structured physical activity.
She got too much exercise.
As I said before, there's an optional keypad, which I also have hooked up to this device. And the keypad allows us to have a little bit more flexibility about what we do. The keypad has a cursor cross on it with an up, a down, a left and a right arrow, and a little button in the center that's got a round piece of what looks to me like Velcro on it, so you can easily distinguish it from anything else. That round center button is, I believe, the start and stop button.
Activity.
It reads an individual word. So with the keypad, we can read an individual word.
CDC. Expenditure.
I'm now pressing the left arrow and moving back word by word. If I press the right arrow...
CDC, planned.
It's moving forward a word. If I press the up arrow...
Physical activity, I exercise any bodily movement produced by skeletal muscle that results in energy expenditure.
That's previous...
CDC, planned or structured... Matlock or Ticcilia Michael Pecorella.
That, I believe, was the previous line, and I'll press the down key.
Physical activity, I exercise any bodily movement, bottom of text.
And the bottom key moves me forward. So you get a little bit more control with the keypad. Okay, the center button is the start and stop button. That's like the little round button on the front. On the right-hand side, there's another button. And I press it, and right now it doesn't seem to do anything. But up above...
Hold it down, I think it's going to be the help button. iPal
Solo allows you to read printed...
Oh, it is the help button. Thank you, David. Okay. I had a brain freeze there.
Press it in conjunction with any key, and it will tell you what that key does.
I'm going to hold the help button down, and I'm going to press it.
iPal Solo allows you the middle button on the right-hand side, marked with a vertical line, is the read button. You need to press the read button and one of the arrows to read a previously saved document.
Okay, now...
This button is also used for switching to another voice or another language. You need to press the save button.
If you let go, it'll stop.
So that little button off to the right of the keypad, to the right and above, is that button with the vertical line. It's a square button, and it's got a little piece of Velcro on it, and that is the read button. Now, I thought that center button was the start and stop button, but I was only guessing, so I'm going to press the help key again, and while I'm holding it down, I'm going to press the center button and see what it tells me.
The center button is the black square marked with a soft white circle. When pressed, it will pause and resume reading.
Now, there's another button up in the very right-hand corner of the keypad, and I'm going to press the help button and that button and see what it tells me about that.
The upper right-hand corner button is marked with a square. This is the save button. You need to press the save button and one of the arrows to save a one-page document. If there is a previously saved document from the selected arrow, Solo will ask you to confirm that you want to override it. To override it, keep both buttons pressed for 3 seconds. If you do not want to override, simply release both buttons.
The keypad, in addition to having better control, also allows you to save text. You can save up to 4 pages of text and no more.
We are going to allow you to save many more pages with the Solo. Originally, we didn't because we wanted to keep the buttons simple and keep the functions very simple. But some of our regular users of iPal, which will save books up to 1,000 pages, asked for it, and we were surprised how many people ask for it. So we are going to add that feature.
I think what happens when you have a device that costs as much as this, and the price of this, I believe, is around $2,000, isn't it right now,
That's
David?
That's correct. $1,995 without the keypad. The keypad is optional, another $250.
You know, when you get something that big, you kind of want it to do everything, including wash your dishes. And I suspect that that's where some of the impetus for that came from, is that people just say, hey, I'm paying for this. I want it to do a lot of things. Obviously, in the case of this document, I really don't want to save this because it wasn't all that interesting in the first place. And it didn't get any more interesting as I read it over and over again. And I certainly don't want to keep it. I'm not particularly bothered by the fact that the iPal Solo doesn't save large documents because the use that I bought it for was to be able to read mystery documents. Our house is fairly big and spread out, and I didn't want to have to go to the computer and fire up the scanner and Kurzweil 1000 every time I wanted to read a document. I wanted to be able to have something that sits on my kitchen table or in some other place. Right now it's the kitchen table because we haven't found a real good home for it, but and in a place essentially where the mail is coming in anyway, so that I can go to that, fire it up, and read what I've got. That's a neat thing to do. So I'm not particularly concerned with the fact that it doesn't save everything, because the things that I read on this, I don't want to save. I just want to find out what they are, find out whether I need to attend to them, and then if I really need to read it in more detail, I'll get a human reader to do that for me.
How long will it stay on before it shuts off?
Forever. If I don't take the document off there, of course, it'll still keep this document. But let's say I do take it off of there.
Please place your document.
Oh, no, I didn't want to take that off of there. Well, now, what was I reading? Let me see.
Top of text. Strategies for inclusion in physical education. Matlock Ortigilia Michael Pecorella.
Even though I took it off of there and it's ready to receive another document, it has retained the document that I have. So if I wasn't sure, I could still go back and check it to find out if I want to override it. I'm going to take another page of this fabulously exciting document that we have here, and I'm going to put it into the iPal. Now, the reason that it was making all that boinking was because...
Obesity, 27.4%. Persons with a disability, 16.5%. Persons
I should have stuck with the cover.
CDC, 2002, BRFSS.
So, as you can see, it very quickly scanned that second page and read it. One of the kind of nifty things, and I wasn't sure how much I would use this, and I'm still not sure how much I'll use it. I just think it's kind of cool that it does it, is something called hand gestures. And what that allows me to do is it allows me to take my hand and control what the iPal is doing. For me, this is not a big deal, but for some people who maybe have trouble with finding buttons or pushing buttons or maybe don't have the coordination, it's kind of nice for them to be able to use hand gestures to start and stop the machine. So I'm going to turn the hand gestures on. I'm going to hold down the round button here.
Gesture commands enabled.
So now I'm going to take my hand and I'm going to wave it over the top of the document, kind of like I were conducting a seance. I'm going to go from left to right.
2002.
I just started reading.
Odds for obesity, blind or visually impaired.
Let's say I want to stop it.
Greater than general.
I'll wave my hand from right to left.
CDC, 2000.
No, actually, you know what I did? By waving it from right to left, I actually moved back a line.
Do you have to program those gestures?
No. It's just...
standard. If you just go left to right, start, left to right, stop, start and stop, if you go the opposite way, it'll back up.
And those are essentially the two gestures that you have, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I wondered what would happen if I just put my hand over the document and didn't move it.
BRFSS. Odds for obesity,
well,
like CDC, 2002.
I must have moved
BRFSS.
It a little bit, but I've started and stopped that by just waving my hand over the top of the document. And I think it's pretty cool that this thing is smart enough to know what you did with your hand. I don't know how much I'll use it. I played with it a lot when I first got it just to find out how well it worked, and then I shut it off because I realized I could do the same thing with the controls. But it's still kind of neat that it has it there.
Thank you, Steve, for showing this. He's really done a great job at showing the iPal Solo. Again, it's got the ability to read, to store four documents, to start and stop with hand motions. We built it as an extension of our other products to make it easier for people that don't want to bother with a computer. And to have it as a second device. So even though Steve's very computer savvy, he's really using it for one of our intended functions. He's got it in his kitchen to read mail and have it available as a quick reader. And it's excellent at that. It really will read right away. It'll recognize different kinds of documents. And it's great as a second machine because you don't have to turn on your computer. You don't have to go back to your office or whatever. So we're envisioning it as by the bedstand, by your table, or in the kitchen. And he's really showed all the features of it. What I want to point out, though, is that there are two versions of the machine. For people that are totally blind, the iPal, as Steve just described it, is the correct machine. We also have something called the Solo LV for low vision, which will also hook up to a monitor. And while it's reading, it will also display the text in large font. And you can select the font, and it word wraps on the screen. So it never goes off the screen as a CCTV would for a low vision user. So I just point out that it's available in that other version, which costs $25.95 with the monitor separate. And then you can both read and display at the same time. Latest version also has Spanish built in. It reads Spanish automatically as well as English. And that one will display in various ways. It'll do continuous line display, or it'll do the word wrap display in any font contrast of your choice.
I'm assuming it's an 8.5 by 11 sheet,
yes.
Standard sheet. What happens if it's in columns?
It does pretty well, first of all, in columns. There's also a combination of keys that you can hit that tells it that it's columnar, and it even does a better job. But you're bringing up one of the biggest problems we've had, which is columns, and I'm glad because it's reminding me that we're now working on a release specifically to do builds. Our intent is to have some sort of mapping structure so that you can have a sighted person help you one time identify, say, your utility bill and say, this field, as it's reading, we're going to be able to say, this field is actually the due date, and this field is the amount, and this field is your account number. And it will then remember that format. So the next time you put that kind of thing down, it will do an even better job of bills.
So that you're saying it will recognize the bill and then be able to use the map for that bill?
Exactly. That's what our intent is. We're not there yet, but we expect to have something very soon on that.
Is there any type of font that it has difficulties recognizing or that it will distort?
In general, the fonts do not present problems. Italics do not present problems. The only problem we seem to have, we're working on that as well, is when we have a large white space on the page, we sometimes fill it in with gobbledygook. And, of course, that's not good. Sometimes we'll get what they call character salad, right? Because it just throws in a bunch of characters.
Most of the time, I have no idea. When I scan something in, it's a real adventure. I have no idea what I'm about to get. I put a document down on the iPal, and it took a long time to scan the thing in. But when it got done, it started reading, and it did pretty well. It missed a few characters here and there and put in some character salad. And I showed the document to somebody later, and they said, I am amazed that it read this because it was printing that was on top of a picture, not separate from it, but actually superimposed over the picture. And the darn thing recognized it anyway, and I thought that was pretty cool.
You know, Steve, it's also got the capability of describing the page to you, and I'm sorry I don't have the key combination for that. I don't have my instructions with me.
Yeah, and I have
It'll
no
tell you how many characters and 75% text, and there's three zones to it, that sort of thing.
And that's all functionality that you get out of the keypad.
How small is the type that you can read?
Quite small. I think it goes to at least 8 point.
So the return address on an envelope might be readable?
Oh, yes, certainly.
Can it read out the currency?
Currency, no, it does not do that.
I did put some currency on it just to see what would happen, and it read me the serial number, but it wouldn't read me the denominations.
I
Amy
just
has
handed
just
him
handed
a bill.
Me some money.
It's not going to work, but let's see what it does.
Let's see what it does, though, and I'm just going to put this bill.
Okay.
Oh, it's not going to stop until I take my hand away.
That's a good thing. If you notice, it doesn't stop until he takes his hand away.
Now it's working.
It's
and
probably going to beep for about a minute here.
Yeah.
Wrinkly bills, you know, like he's pointing out it's curved a little bit. It usually handles the curve okay.
Yeah. Steve, have you tried this like reading a soup can? Or?
It's not going to work with a soup can, and the reason it won't work with a soup can is because whatever it tries to read has to be sitting flat on the surface. I suppose if I put a can down there on its side, it might look at a portion of the label, but I didn't see that as a very useful thing to try to do because I have no idea where that...
16,765 B. This modded I called Petit Freon Bordeaux, Mount and JMJCUION UWT1. Bank 53,416,765 B.
Well, that's the serial number. It read the serial number.
That's something we might be able to address. I'll remember to ask them that with the forms part. If we thought of
the
bill as a form. But it does bring up something I forgot to mention. On the Solovel V, because we have this digital camera, we also magnify. I should have mentioned that. We can magnify. So the Solovel V will act for us, a low-vision individual as a CCTV as well. It's not as good a magnification as a CCTV, I will tell you that. But adequately, it will magnify a soup can or a pill bottle or let you fill out a form. So it serves both functions. So it's very very good that way.
And you change screen colors and things like
yes,
that?
Yes, you can change screen colors.
White and black.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I need to sign documents. I'm wondering, I've seen some devices like that where the digital camera doesn't keep up with the motion of the pen.
It's a little jerky. It's not as good as a CCTV would be, which is a bit better image. But you can certainly sign a document, fill out it, and you will be able to observe it.
The booting up, to me, it seems that this was very much longer than the unit that I had.
for testing it. It really seemed like the one I had was probably twice as fast. Or even...
I think you're right about that, and I'm not sure why. Stevie Wonder, the musician, loves this machine. He owns the iPal, and he owns the iPal Solo. When I was at the CSUN conference in California, I had my daughter Kimberly with me, who was looking for colleges, and we were one of the three vendors he invited back to his radio station the next day, and we went on the air, and I was demonstrating it, and Stevie said to me, Dave, now don't forget to show him the hand motions, which is kind of fun to demonstrate on the radio. So, so I had to describe that, while I was, but he insisted on it, because he likes the hand motions.
Well, the hand motions are a big part of Stevie Wonder's stuff.
So now I'm going to describe our other devices. Again, this was a takeoff of our previous devices. We have two devices, the Solo and the Solo LV, that work without a computer. The reason for that is the computer is basically built into the base. That's what's in there.
There are ports on this computer.
Yes.
There are several that look like mouse or keyboard ports. There are a couple of jacks. That's because it's actually a PC box.
Basically, we bought a motherboard, and it comes standing with all the ports. So rather than hide them, we've got them sticking out the back. And so you could hook it up to a monitor. You could hook up to a television. There are three different ports for the to go to the television.
Looks like you got a network port
back
there.
Network.
Yeah, there's everything, really, basically. And also a headphone jack on the side that I could have hooked these speakers up, but it seems to be doing well. I think everybody could hear it. Basically, you've got a computer in there.
Is this a machine that you can travel with?
You could sort of do it, but I'd be...
No, but not with the camera.
But the camera comes off.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Because it comes off and lays down. The camera plugs into, what do you call it, USB.
USB.
Yeah, USB port on the back.
So, yes, actually, you could, the base, which is 12 by 8.5 and only 3 inches high, could fit, because I've done this in my suitcase. Mm-hmm. Then the shaft, which holds the camera, can also lie down. It's not meant for that, but yes, you could. Now, as I pass this around, this is our computer device. I'm just going to describe that to you. And it's basically kind of like a tripod. It folds up, the feet fold up, so that a student can put it in their backpack, and the camera, which is at the top, what actually happened is you could fold this little tripod up and stick it in your backpack. This basic shape is used for three of our products. The original iPal is a little tripod device that plugs into a PC, does everything you just heard. It's for the blind, and it's a read-only device, but it will store up to 999 pages per book and as many books as you want to hold on your hard drive. The next version up from that also uses the digital camera to display text, and that is called ZoomX. So that will read and display in the font, color of your choice. The third device adds a second camera, and that's a distance camera for students. So a student here at MIT that might be in the back could use that second camera to zoom up on the teacher's face or on the blackboard that's behind us here and see that on their computer screen very sharply blown up, and can then just take pictures by pressing the spacebar. They can take as many pictures as they want of the board or of the teacher. And what they can basically do is take notes without having to take notes. So they actually have advantages over the sighted students. And that same camera can then be pointed down towards the desk and used like a CCTV. And now we have a true CCTV-like picture because this is a very sharp image. And that could be used to take tests. So this one device that fits in a backpack can be used for distance, for reading. They can store their papers the night before. And in class, they can zoom up on the board. And any three of those right now are available with the free netbook, which is the same one we donated to you today.
What's the last device called?
That was called Twix.
Twix. Oh, with the device that with projection.
Now, I'll give prices in a moment. We have a question in the back first.
The Twix, you're giving away a free netbook. Does it do everything with just the netbook? Because they're really easy to carry.
It certainly does, and that's the whole idea. Well, first of all, it was affordability, too, because the netbooks retail for $300 from Staples. My son happens to work at Staples, and he's in the back, so we're buying them from him, 50 at a time. That unit will, in fact, do everything that I just described. The student now has a solution that can fit in their backpack. It's very portable. But I will say that not just with Twix. We're giving those away with the iPal and with the ZoomX, all three of them. And I'll mention pricing. As I'm mentioning pricing, I'm also going to say that Lena, the owner, said if five or more people would like to buy something in the next 30 days, and there's no pressure. Let's take it through your next meeting. If you want to put it together in order, we'll give you level one dealer pricing, which would be 25 off on the devices.
$25 or 25%?
25%.
Wow.
25%, which is a great offer. So if five or more want to do it, there's no pressure whatsoever. You take your time. But between now and, say, 10 days after your next meeting, give you time to think about it, we would be happy to extend that pricing as a special one-time offer.
Is that netbook usable for other functions?
Oh, absolutely. There's a $75 buy-in from the dealers on this. So we're going to give you a dealer pricing. You have to put, it's going to be 25 off plus $75 for the netbook, which is a $300 netbook. So it's a good deal.
Is there any way to make the camera so that you could fold the post down?
We're talking about that. Well, first of all, it does lift right out.
Take it off.
In our redesign, we're thinking about a way to make it like that so that we could then put it in a flat case.
What about a telescoping post?
The problem is it's got to be pretty precise and pretty rigid when it's done.
Yeah.
You know, so from a design point of view, this was our first pass. People were asking about the prices. The regular iPad that works with a computer is $1,995. The Zoom X that also does the display is $2,395 for the Zoom X. And then the Twix, the one with the two cameras, is $3,595. That one's a little more expensive. So $1,995 for the iPal that works with a computer, $2,395 for the Zoom X, and $3,495 for the Zoom Twix, the dual camera model. And then
the iPal Solo.
The iPal Solo that Steve has is $1,995 plus $250 for the keypad if you want it. And the one for low vision is $2,595, keypad included, but no monitor included.
Between the iPal and the iPal Solo?
Solo. Between the regular iPal and the Solo, it works with the computer and will store more and has more features. Okay, and that's a read-only device. And then the Solo has the computer built in. So one works with your netbook or your PC. That's the iPal, the original iPal. That's a computer-based product. It works by plugging a tripod-like device with the USB into your computer. This one, you don't need a computer at all. So this is meant to be a standalone or a second device for your kitchen or your night table or whatever. No computer required.
Oh, I see. The first one, if you wanted to do what Steve's doing, you'd have to drag your laptop.
Correct.
Right.
The whole thing. Right. And now by creating the standalone device, we created something where you don't have to drag the laptop. It was really also intended for seniors who are not computer friendly at all. The VA does a lot of it with veterans who have multiple issues and so forth.
With the second one, could you though plug it into your computer if you want to save the documents and put them there and so on?
It's not designed for that, but we're working on that when we have that book feature through the USB to be able to move a document to your computer.
Can
there be a way to do that?
Yeah. Are there any USB slots on this?
There are.
I'm wondering, could you plug in a USB drive or a card reader or something?
Yes, you could.
And be able to transfer the document from that to the USB card?
The original one that Steve has was not designed with that in mind, but the slot is there and the USB is there. So now what we're doing is adding that capability, and it'll be available in the United States shortly. Right now it's actually shipping in Europe.
And will you be able to retrofit to existing units?
We will, because it's a software difference.
Software, yeah.
And the software, I don't know if you noticed this, Steve, but at the bottom of the device, there's a little card that has a very small SIM or read-only card, so we can upgrade you by just switching that. So yes, the answer is the ports are already there, and we will upgrade your software.
And how much does it cost for upgrades?
In the first year, they're free. Truthfully, we don't do much on upgrades. We're pretty good about that. On our other products, after a few years, you know, once in a while we come up with an upgrade that's a couple $100 or something. Mm-hmm. After many years, but all the computer-based products come with a 2-year warranty that also includes free upgrades. So far in the Solo, we've given away all the upgrades.
Can I unplug the USB, the camera which we have on the Solo, and take it with my laptop or go to the library with my laptop?
See, it wouldn't do you any good, no. You need the Solo to do it.
For the software.
Well, if you're going to do that, you really should have the other device. You should have the
iPhone.
I was going to ask about ambient light requirements, but I noticed the one that I looked at, that you might have a light on it.
There is a light on it, so it takes care of itself in terms of the light.
So then it can be used to read in the dark.
It can be used to read in the dark, yes.
What kind of warranty is it on it? Is tech support free?
1 year warranty, complete factory warranty of everything except dropping it. We're pretty good about that. And it is free. Yes, the warranty is free. And on the computerized products, those are 2 years parts and warranty.
How easy is it with the Solo to do, say, a paperback book? Would it scan both pages at once?
Size.
Excellent question. It will do both pages at once. On the computerized device, which is going around, we can do up to 1,000 pages. On a paperback, it will scan both sides at once. Or on a larger text, you could scan all the odd and then all the even pages one at a time. And it really does a great job. It knows when your hands are there. Now, the Solo will not take the picture. It'll just keep beeping at you until you move your hands to the side. But the computerized device actually knows when your hands are there. So if you're having trouble turning the page, it's okay. It'll wait till your hands will move to the side. Then you'll hear a little tone just telling you the click is coming, and then a click. You'll hear tone,
so you,
click.
Yeah. But tone, you don't click. Have to hold it down. Like up.
Well, you just have to keep moving your hands to the side because you don't want the page to flip up.
When I use my regular scanner and Kurzweil, I have to hold the book onto the scanner to get it
to stay flat. Yeah.
To stay flat. You don't do that with
well,
this,
you will hold it with your hands, yes, till that picture's taken.
With a flatbed scanner, you have to put the pages face down. With this one, you put them face up.
Right.
Because it's a camera that's looking down.
We'll take all the odds if you want. So we can set it up to take two pages at once or odd, even, alternating, and then we'll actually put them together for you.
Will the Solo do that too, David?
No, I didn't think so. No, the Solo's going to take what it's got, and it's going to do the best with it. So, for instance, for a newspaper, you'd want to fold it to try to get one side.
Only the page that you want to scan. One thing I did find out with the Solo, and I've done this with a couple of things that were a little bit recalcitrant after being in the mail, you know, things get folded and stuff. And I did find if I kept my fingers right at the corner of the documents, I could keep it on the flat surface and it didn't move around. And it seemed to be able to distinguish between anything it thought was my hand maybe I just got lucky, but if I held right at the corners, I could keep the document in place and it did work. I took it out of the box. There was no manual. There was one document that was maybe two or three pages. I had no idea what it was, and I just put it on there and I scanned it, and it turned out to be the user guide, which actually gave me enough information so that I could then start using the buttons and the controls. So in terms of something that is incredibly simple to put together, I think you guys have done a really fantastic job of doing that.
Well, thank you so much. By the way, we since started a small user guide, more for appearance, because I agree with you, it almost didn't need it, and that was Lena's feeling. But I convinced her that for $2,000, our dealers were screaming at us that we didn't have a user guide people expect, so we put together one.
Well, and the dealers may need it just for support, because if it turns out that somebody, say for instance, doesn't understand how to connect the camera, it's the old catch-22, well, I can't turn it on until I learn how to turn it on.
We didn't do much reading. I know we got it. We're short on time. This is the invitation I brought today for the. It's actually your email. We'll just put this on and end with another demo there, and then we'll wrap up, I guess.
Where does this thing get its power?
From the computer. The cords aren't attached.
Okay. This goes to the USB.
Two USBs for this, and the other one's one.
So
the right. It's going
to
read now. Just to give you an idea. How it handles a regular text.
VIGIG is the Visually Impaired and Blind User Group, serving blind and visually impaired computer users in Massachusetts. VIGIG membership costs $20 a year. You may join VIGIG by coming to a meeting and paying your dues by cash or check. Or, if you prefer, you can mail your check to Jim Roberts, VIGIG Treasurer.
Does it always need to be plugged in? Or
it does, yes.
Yes.
Does one of the ones only on 120 volt, or does it work for 240 volt?
These work on 120, but we do sell them in Europe, so they must be an accommodation.
Well, maybe the same like we have in laptops or other things, they can work both whether 120 or 240.
Well, I think it depends on the power supply that you get with it.
Go to sometime we carry.
I would think you'd want another power supply for it.
I think Amy would like to know if that machine will tell you if the document is right, set up, or upside down.
It doesn't have to.
Automatically.
You don't care.
Speech purpose doesn't matter, but sometimes you want to take that paper document and put it on the wall or a plaque.
If you put a blank one, it will say text not found. That's your clue you've got upside down. I don't think it will know.
No, it won't.
With the other device, though, it does tell you. It will tell you document upside down, 70% text, 250 words, 3 images. The computerized version actually does tell you that.
If I wanted to sign a form, I'd have to use the other version of this thing?
The low vision version. If you want to see the form on the screen, yes, sir.
I don't want to see it on the screen.
We would not help you with that, I'm afraid. That would not help you in actually signing something.
Well, thank you
very much, and thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.